first reading, talks about the Egyptians in slavery in Egypt, and I mean the Israelites enslaved in Egypt, and it says, "You have brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand and outstretched arm, with signs and wonders." And spiritually, they say we're all spiritual slaves. We're slaves to sin. But again, in Christ, we are free. Outside of Christ, we're slaves to sin. But in Christ, we are set free. And in that gospel in the desert, we see the struggle that goes on in each one of us to be more and more free. It's the struggle between the angelic and the animal, okay? That tension between the spiritual and the physical. Someone described human beings as having the intellect of an archangel and the body of a rhinoceros, okay? There's an incongruency. It's like a dissimilarity. Like, we can soar with the angels, we can listen to the symphonies of Beethoven, we can lose ourselves in contemplative prayer, but we're linked to the animals. We get hungry, we get thirsty, we're hot, we're cold. There's always that struggle between the animal and the angelic. And there are some philosophers that give us false ways out of that tension. Like Plato said, the goal was to escape from the body. Okay, that's not what the church would say. Plato would say that we need to escape from the prison of the body. Okay? Puritanism would say that the body is evil. Okay? Again, that's not the church's position. The church says we have to integrate the physical and the spiritual. Hedonism, on the other hand, would say we have to yield to every temptation. The way to get rid of temptation is by surrendering to it. Okay? Again, that's the other error. But the church says, since we're body-soul composite, we have to integrate, be at harmony between our souls and our bodies. It's like we say, human beings, we can travel to distant galaxies, but at the same time, we can wallow in the mud. Okay? We can conquer the world of space, but we have difficulty conquering ourselves. God has made us a little less than the angels. And this, like we say, this season is a time to tame the wild beast, okay? To integrate that our physical nature into our spiritual nature. Salvation is taming the wild beast through the sacraments, through the ministry of angels, through the church. Okay? Like, in Christ, we overcome temptation. Outside of Christ, temptation overcomes us. Okay? But like we say, in Christ, we find our victory. Okay? And that's why the church gives us like a prescription during Lent: prayer, fasting, almsgiving, to defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil. The threefold temptation comes against us, but we go on the offense: prayer, fasting, almsgiving. The spiritual exercises helping us to overcome temptation. Once an agnostic wrote to the famous author Gerard Manley Hopkins and asked him, "How can I believe?" Okay. The agnostic wanted to believe, he wanted to see. Hopkins wrote back, "Give alms, do works of charity." Because charity is the remedy that heals the senses of our souls. Again, fasting, another prescription the church gives us. C.S. Lewis would say, the benefit of fasting is discipline, but the danger is pride. We can become so good at controlling our desires that we get ambushed by pride. Okay? Because it's a threefold attack: the world, the flesh, the devil. The devil always seeks to draw us into pride. Mother Teresa, emphasizing prayer, says, if we can't see Jesus in the white host, how will we see him in each other? Okay. the more we love and adore him in the Blessed Sacrament, the better we will be able to love and serve him in others. Again, that faith is the prerequisite to charity. Our souls almost have senses. Like St. Augustine says that we can taste the truth. Okay? When we hear the truth, we can taste it. The falsehood is always bitter. There's something that we can taste that disturbs us, okay? But we can taste the truth. When we hear the truth, we know it. We can smell the stench of sin. We can feel a palpable presence of God, like in the church. We can almost, when we enter church, feel the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. It's almost like a force field that forces us to our knees. And once we genuflect, the force field is released. But it's a palpable presence, and the peace that we experience here is, like we say, it's something that we can feel with our soul. And the more that God manifests himself to us, the more radical must be our response, the more decisive must be our turning toward him. So the more he manifests himself through the church, through the sacraments, the more responsibility we have to return the love that we have experienced from him. They say one convert to the church described the struggle of Lent as two dogs fighting, these two dogs fighting within them. And the convert was asked, well, which one is winning? And he said, whichever one I feed. Okay? So the spiritual life is like those two dogs fighting. And it's whichever one we feed that wins. So Lent is the time to feed the spiritual, to help us overcome our natural inclinations. Another analogy was someone was riding a horse, and they were asked, where are you going? And their response was, don't ask me, ask the horse. Okay? Sometimes our lower nature rules our higher nature. It's like our passions are running our lives. But Lent helps us to restrain our lower nature so that our higher nature can take over, that our lower nature will be subject to our higher nature, to integrate ourselves. And so sin has kind of set us at war within ourselves. But Lent is a time to tame the beast and to slay the dragons. In the church, we have the rescue mission. The church's mission is rescue. It's salvation. In Jesus Christ, we defeat temptation. In this time of Lent, by his grace, he gave us the victory over sin and death. In Jesus Christ, we find our peace. During this season of Lent, we make use of the means that he gave us, the grace that he won for us, to defeat temptation and sin, and to find our victory in salvation.